This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980, where my camera has died, which is fantastic. Love to see it. Oh, now people are getting the full experience. Oh, yeah, that's my wide shot of the studio. Let's zoom that on in. And hello, everybody. Not how we plan to start the show, but that's all right. The vibes are high. The Commanders won on a Hail Mary 2 days ago, and we're still pretty psyched. Anthony, it is a very, very fun time to be a Commanders fan, to do a Commanders show. It is obviously very, very it's just we haven't had this in a long time. Team is 6-2. Every break seems to be going their way. It feels like the people in charge know what they're doing. And I just on a vibe check Tuesday, I actually want to start with checking myself and setting expectations for everybody, because we did something on the show today that we typically, or on the show yesterday that we typically don't do, which is we got really, really petty. We dipped to the lowest of lows in sports fandom. We kind of went after the Bears fans because, frankly, they deserved it. And sometimes people need to. I'm not going to encourage actual violence. Punk kids need to get beat up is kind of the theme. I'm not encouraging actually beating up children, even other children. This is a nonviolent show. We don't encourage that, either morally, ethically, or especially legally. But, Anthony, my comment section is more positive today towards me than it has been in the entire time that we have ever been doing this show with the digital element where people can respond. People really like Petty Craig, and I am starting the show today checking myself to not give in to my worst instincts, and just I'm letting everybody know I'm not saying Petty Craig is retired. But he's only going to come out for special occasions. This was a special occasion. And that's all I got to say about that.
I mean, as long as you know, it came off as a little petty. But, you know, everybody got a little petty in them sometimes. And you were also provoked. So I think that's one thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, they got what they deserved, yeah. But now, you know, we'll just wait until the next time someone deserves it. And I'm just saying, like, I appreciate everyone being kind and saying that they enjoyed the segment. And if you missed the segment, you should go back and listen to 5:15 yesterday or head over to YouTube and check out the Bears fans effed around and found out segment that's up at Craig Hoffman and at the Team 980, because it's fun. It was enjoyable to do. Sometimes those segments don't actually make you feel any better. That one felt good. That one, we really stuck the landing. If I thought of a couple other it's one of those where you, oh man, I wish I would have said that. I thought of a couple other fun punchlines that I could have thrown in afterwards. But I'm just letting everybody know. I appreciate you. Thank you. It has been fun to revel in being the villain that actually maybe is the hero. There's like a Batman element to it. Perhaps even, but that is for special occasions only. And just like I told the Bears fans, bros, keep your eyes on your own paper. It is now Tuesday. We had our day of fun. And I want to spend today focused on Washington, not Chicago, not on punking Bears fans, not on putting them back in their place, because they've been put in their place. And some of them don't know it. Some of them are still screaming into the void, but like we can mute them and move on because the team here is 6-2 and in second place in the NFC. And that is worth focusing on at whole. I think they also, by and large, played a really good football game on Sunday. Now, there's a couple of things that need to get cleaned up in a major way. And the last time I feel like we said that about this team in terms of played really well, score line not necessarily reflective, but ends in a win, was New York. And after New York, this team went on a tear. So obviously, if they can do that again, that would be sweet. Pittsburgh's an enormous test coming up in a couple of weeks. But at the end of the day, like this Washington team is playing really good ball. And while there's things at the end we can talk about, I'm curious how obviously everyone's feeling because it's a vibe check Tuesday. But I also wanted to unload a few notes from the trusty notepad, which obviously got fully unloaded on Take Command, which you can check out wherever you get your podcasts. The film review show is up. We'll let you hear what Logan Paulson and I had to say about Jaden's day coming up. From that podcast coming up at 5:15. But I really, after watching this tape and getting into it a little bit and going back and saying like, okay, it felt like Washington was in control for this game. It felt like, they played better and then some wacky stuff happened, man. Like they beat the crap out of the Bears for 3.5 quarters. It really was that. And the number, it's funny because I think sometimes you can look at teams, Anthony, and you go, well, a couple plays here, a couple mistakes there, a couple of this, a couple of that. And it's like, well, couldn't you say that about the other team? The thing is about Chicago is they made a bunch of mistakes that were characteristic to who they've been. Like, if you make Chicago sustain a drive, they will pick up a dumb penalty. That's who they've been. Washington is not that team. Washington has at times been a team that can't avoid that stuff in the red zone, and that was who they were. They were the worst version of themselves in that way. But Chicago just, I mean, there was a situation. Let's see if I have the timestamp real quick. Let's see if I can find it. Hold on. Scrolling through the paper notes, which come with sound effects. I can't find it. Oh, here it is. Late third quarter, about 3:30-ish probably to go. They have a 3rd and 2, Anthony. They convert on that 3rd and 2. It's a comeback. It's a sick throw by Caleb. It's a great catch by DJ Moore. St. Juice is all over him in coverage. And, you know, BSJ, it's like classic BSJ. Like, buddy, you're there. We need you to somehow make a play. But this was A-plus work by Caleb and by DJ Moore. And, like, literally there is contact and a swipe of the ball, and DJ Moore just catches it. Doesn't matter because Darnell Wright, their right tackle, their second-year guy, who was a 9th overall pick last year, he lined up offsides. So illegal formation, boop, 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 back it up, 3rd and 7. What follows that? False start. Boop, boop, boop. So you have a 3rd and 2 that you converted that you've turned into a 3rd and 12. On 3rd and 12, he misses Keenan Allen on a corner route. Caleb does punt. And that's who Chicago is. If you make Chicago sustained drives, then they will shoot themselves in the foot. And for Washington, it's like just details that they have been largely good at for 5-6 weeks. Stuff that was bad against New York. They cleaned up. They cleaned Arizona's clock. They cleaned, they cleaned Cincinnati's clock offensively. They cleaned Arizona's clock. They put up a solid but not outstanding performance against Baltimore. And then we know what's happened since. And Chicago's good. Like, Chicago's defense is really good. They did some really nice stuff in the second half to really slow down the run. But at the end of the day, this was a game, after watching the film, that was much more about, and it's not even like, oh, hey, Chicago rushed really well and forced holds. Like, there is no reason that Sam Cosmi is 2.5 yards downfield on Olamide Zaccheaus' touchdown that gets called back, because Cosmi is an illegal man downfield, and he doesn't affect the play. The De'Ami Brown one, the big play that gets called back on the screen because Nick Allegretti is 7 yards downfield, that's a pretty impactful penalty. If Allegretti's not there, that might be a 4-yard gain because he blocks the linebacker that would come make the play. And De'Ami would have to, maybe De'Ami makes that guy miss and it's still a big play, but like Allegretti's penalty really impacts the play. On the Cosmi one, that dude ain't doing jack. Like, Cosmi's 2.5 yards not blocking anybody, and he's only allowed to go 1. So it's stuff like that. It's Zach Ertz dropping a pass in the end zone, the one that got overturned, or the one that got challenged, that is a pass that he catches more often than not. And so it's self-inflicted stuff for Washington that I think, yeah, you have those weeks in the NFL, and if you can win on those weeks, amazing, no matter how it happens, Hail Mary otherwise. But I think moving forward, the thing that's really exciting is they tend to lock in on these kinds of details when they make those kinds of mistakes. And a lot of this stuff like is not pressure-induced. It's not anything other than Washington making mistakes. And like Trent Scott playing, with all due respect to him, comes in. He's a fourth tackle for a reason, tough spot against a good defense. And he commits some false starts and some other stuff that you're just like, dude, what are we doing? That's why you're a backup. And so if you can just get Brandon Coleman or Cornelius Lucas back out there, you're in good shape. So New York's up next. How you feeling? They're 6-2. They're second in the NFC. Other teams in this division, other teams in the conference have real problems. So how you feeling? Vibe check Tuesday. We take your calls at 301-230-0980. That is next. And then also coming up at 6 o'clock today, are the Commanders going to graduate out of puncher's chance in our NFL tier rankings up into prime contenders? 6 o'clock tonight, we answer that for you here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well on a Vibe Check Tuesday. I feel like I'm ready for kickoff, Anthony. So we never play that as a rejoin. I'm not anti. I'm just like, wow, I'm like fired up. I hit someone right now.
Exactly. That's how I'm feeling on this fine Tuesday, Craig.
That's your vibe?
Yes.
Your vibe is I could run through a wall?
I think so.
Nice.
I'm still that pumped from Sunday.
Emotionally, I'm there. Physically, I'm a little tired. Hit a hard workout a little bit earlier today. I was running fast, biking hard. And
are we getting tired to it? Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. This half marathon ain't gonna run itself.
No, it's not.
We got less than 3 weeks to go till we're in it. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about how you feel about the second place in the NFC Washington Commanders. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. And we simply ask, what's your vibe on this Vibe Check Tuesday? And we start things off with Zachary in Richmond. Zachary, how are we feeling on a Vibe Check Tuesday about the Commanders?
What's up, Craig, man? I'm feeling amazing, man. I was at the game, section 138, row 8. Man, going crazy when that Hail Mary dropped, man. That was one of the best moments of my life. After sitting through last year, only having one home game, man, this has been the best season that I've ever witnessed as a Commanders fan. Man, I was telling you, man, who screens the calls, man, this is the year. I know we all started, Craig, and you started, you know, trust the process, trust the process. Nobody saw us being this good, man. And we might not have the pieces that we have this year, next year. Bobby Wagner might retire. Other pieces might leave. You know, we got a lot of people on one-year contracts. All we need is a solidified cornerback, man. Like, if the playoffs started today, Craig, we would have two home games in the playoffs. You can't have that opportunity and not, you know, take advantage of it. We give away a second-round pick. Get that guy, cornerback Ward, from the Browns. Bring him in. St. Juice is not our problem. He just is playing out of place. We need him to be our second cornerback, move Sarah Steele to the nickel, which we drafted him for. And, man, let's run the table, man. There's nobody in the NFC that can definitively stop us unless we beat ourselves. If the Lions have to beat us, let them beat us in the NFC championship. But I'm feeling great, Craig. I just want us to get a cornerback.
Zachary, I hear you, man. And I really honestly go back and forth on how aggressive I would like Adam Peters to be. What is the best thing for the franchise? Like, what is the best thing for the team this year and in the long term? And
team nominated, who's
the counter argument, I would say, the devil's advocate to your point is, yes, there are pieces here that are not going to be here in the long term. And I think that when you talk about like a guy like Bobby Wagner, he could retire. I don't think Bobby Wagner is going to want to go anywhere. Like, these dudes are having fun. This is a great place to be. They want to play for Dan. They want to play. I mean, listen to Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs on Micah's podcast talking about how much they love Dan Quinn. Like, those guys miss him down there. So guys are going to want to be here. And Adam Peters is really good at finding guys, and he's got a ton of cap space and a ton of draft capital. And so there is a part of me that goes, this is, in the first couple of years here, the worst roster they're going to have, in theory, right? Like,
yeah, Craig, but you got to talk about the injuries, man. Like, look at Tampa this year. They had a great team. Then injuries hit, and now you're decimated. Like, we can't always think about, oh, well, next year. In the NFL, it's not for long, man. And when you got that time to really – I'm not saying blow up the team. I'm just saying give up one second-round pick to get a solidified cornerback. And, like, I'm not saying blow it up. I'm just saying just give up one pick to get a solidified cornerback, and let's see what happens.
Zachary, to be honest, I think I generally land where you do. Now, a second rounder's pretty rich, but if it's a guy like Denzel Ward, like, that's a long-term commitment. He's got a contract with multiple years left, so it's going to cost you more, but it's going to be worth it because you get multiple years of production. Zachary, thanks for the call, and I appreciate it. And I think I actually land where Zachary is, which is we're now far enough into this. We're 8 games into this, and Jaden's a bona fide MVP candidate. Like, I don't know that he's the definitive MVP. Like, Josh Allen's having a great year. Lamar's having an outstanding year. Even in their loss over the weekend, like, he was incredible. But, like, the Commanders, although they lost head-to-head, currently have a better record than the Ravens, which feels crazy. Obviously, Jared Goff, if you're the quarterback of arguably the best team in football, you're an MVP candidate. Jared Goff is having an outstanding year. His completion percentage is through the roof. I think that it's probably I would take Jaden for sure. And I am also biased because I watch the all 22 of Jaden every single week. I don't watch any other quarterback with any kind of regularity like that. You know, Lamar, watching him studying for the Ravens game was pretty intense. Like, that dude's ridiculous. But I think you can make a bona fide argument that Jaden is the MVP. If you're talking about most outstanding combined with value to team, which is really kind of what MVP winds up being, that B has a little bit of a O parentheses in it, and most valuable and outstanding. I think it's hard to argue that anyone has been more valuable to their team than Jaden Daniels in both what he's meant for the turnaround of the league or of the franchise, but also what he's meant on the field, the plays he's made, the way he extends plays, the way, you know, he's made these miraculous Hail Mary, literally or at times like almost figuratively, I guess, where it just feels like, ah, screw it, Jaden will figure it out, and it's not a Hail Mary at the end of the game. But whew, if you got a Hail Mary, if you got a MVP quarterback, you should be going for it. It's too hard in this league to win. And so I tend to think that, like, making a move over the next couple of weeks, and I believe the trade deadline is 2 weeks from today, a week from today, it's coming up. It's quick. It's in the next 2 weeks. I think that is absolutely something that Adam Peters is exploring for sure. And I think corner and or edge rusher are the positions that I would most be pursuing, potentially followed by wide receiver if you can get a real difference maker. But again, that depends on who's available, what their contract situation is. The good news is, like, they can take on any contract. It just has to be smart moving forward, and they've got a feel of kind of what the draft looks like, what the next year's free agency class looks like, and all that, and when they determine all of those values. 301-230-0980. Is it Tijon? Tijon online too? Do I have your name pronounced correctly?
Tion,
my bad. This is what happens when we write things down. Tion, is I have to take a guess, and sometimes I'm wrong. Tion, appreciate you calling. What's your vibe on a Tuesday?
First of all, Craig, I can't believe, you know, you got my name wrong after, you know, I'd be crushing your fantasy football. But, you know, I'll let that slide.
See, that's That's yeah. Hold on. Where are you at in the league standings? Hold on a second. What are you don't I you don't know. Know? Anthony, do we know where Tion is in the league standings?
Yeah, like fourth or fifth.
Okay. Tion, you tell me how you're feeling, and then I'll change the depending on where I am in the standings after this weekend. I might change the vibe of your day.
He's fifth.
Okay.
He's fifth. Where am I, Anthony?
All right.
We can just take care of this now, Anthony. Where am I?
Oh, well, technically you both are tied, but he scored more points than you, so he's higher.
Okay.
Than you.
All right. Well, salute, Tion. That's my bad. I'll own it based off fantasy football because that's how pronouncing names correctly works. That's not how it works, everybody.
There you
everyone,
go,
you should say people's names right. All right, Tion, let's get back on track. Vibe Check Tuesday, where you at?
Okay, well, you know, sometimes that's how I go. You got to correct the names and you correct the names. But, you know, I'm going to let that slide. For real, on Vibe Check, on this Vibe Check, I purposely didn't call until the midway of the season because I wanted to see how everything progressed. I like the way our position, where we are positioned at right now. I hear everybody saying we need to trade for this, we need to trade for that, and I've been actually having this conversation with my brother about this. What I'm terrified of is that right now we have great chemistry in the locker room, and I don't want to trade for something and bring in something that could disrupt the chemistry. I feel like the coaching staff is doing an awesome job of coaching these guys up, and you know what I'm saying? I feel like, yeah, we are ahead of schedule, but these guys are pushing and they're learning. I think we should give them the opportunity to keep on growing. Each week they're getting better and better. I'm not saying they're great, okay, but the scheme is getting better, it's getting tighter, and if you keep pushing and keep letting them grow, that's what you want. That's why our draft picks before we get so frustrated. All these guys we drafted have talent, but they wasn't getting the proper coaching and technique. Now, some of them have been in the league and got burnt, and their confidence might have been affected, and it's taking a little bit more time to get it together, but I slowly see the team getting together. So I'm like, hey, let's just ride this on out, because what we have right now is something very special. And the whole league sees that, how special it is. Teams are starting to imitate and try to copy the team spirit, but they can't copy a team spirit that's not genuine. And our team spirit is truly genuine. So I'm like, hey, let's let it ride.
Yeah, Tion, I think it's a really, really great point. I got to let you run because we're up against the clock, but appreciate the call and best of luck for the rest of the fantasy football season. But it's why a guy like Deontay Johnson, who just got traded today from Carolina to Baltimore, was probably never in consideration here. He's a good player. He's really talented. You watch the tape, that dude is not giving it his all every snap. And I think I appreciate more what that looks like now than any year previous because, like, for instance, watching this tape of the Commanders and how their receivers run routes and then watching the Bears, and I'm not saying with 100% certainty that these Bears players don't play hard every snap. They don't have the most twitched up receiver group. Like, Keenan Allen is super smooth as an athlete. He's not exactly a burner. You know, DJ Moore is pretty twitched up, but it's a little bit different in the way he runs because he's not like a great route runner, but it doesn't look like they play offensively with the urgency that Washington does. And so if you're going to trade for someone, it's got to be someone that fits. And Adam Peters understands that. When they were in San Francisco, they traded for Christian McCaffrey because Christian McCaffrey was everything that they wanted. He was versatile. He could do multiple things, but he also plays hard as hell. He's a great dude in the locker room. Like they made moves in San Francisco, but they were with an intention. I mean, shoot, when they brought in Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, in part is because dudes loved playing for Jimmy / with Jimmy. Logan was there. Like Logan's talked about it. There is a magic to Jimmy G and kind of his charisma. He's got the riz, kids. That's just how he is. And so there is an understanding of that with this roster and with this organization that I think if they were to make a move, it's going to be for someone who fits that. And you don't necessarily have to worry about it because of that, because they know. 301-230-0980 is our phone number. More of your calls next on a Vibe Check Tuesday. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday on the Hoffman Show. It's also a Tischler Tuesday. Mitchell joined us coming up at 5 p.m. You can call us on the Team 980 listener line at 301-230-0980. Let us know how you're feeling about the second place in the NFC, 6-2 Washington Commanders. Let's go to Keith in Clinton. Keith, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
What's up, Steve? How you doing, man?
What's up, who?
Sorry, Hoffman. I'm sorry about that. Listen, I was at the game. I'm a diehard Redskins fan or Commanders fan. I don't even about the name Commanders, but Redskins fan. And the thing about it is I'm comfortable with how they're bringing the team along, but I'm going to be totally honest with you. It's bad when you can sit up in the stands and you can predict on third and long, if they go at St. Juice, they'll get the first down or it'll be pass interference. And even that last one for the touchdown for them, when they went into the end zone, right, it wasn't a touchdown. We called it. Everybody's in the stands calling it. And I'm like, man, this is bad that we know who to go after, so they know who to go after. And I'm wondering, what do you think about the fact that we don't know their defensive scheme, but putting somebody over the top at times to throw the defense off that, you know, on third down, they're going to pretty much go at St. Juice. He can play aggressive up tight, and if he gets beat, we got somebody over the top. What you think about that?
I think that you made a lot of mistakes in this call, starting with that you called me the wrong name, second that you called the team the wrong name, and third that you think that the way to stop a comeback route, or that you think that the problem with Benjamin's PI call was that he wasn't aggressive enough, none of it adds up, if I'm being completely honest, Keith. The reason that Benjamin got the PI call is because he did jump a route, because the pass rush had been getting pressure on 61% of Caleb Williams' dropbacks, and so he thought he had the freedom to jump a route. He got hit with a double move, and he grabbed on so he didn't give up a touchdown, which is not good, but putting someone over the top is not how you fix that.
Okay. Please forgive me for calling the wrong name. You know you're my
You're
man,
forgiven
so
on that.
I don't know what I have. Yeah, a moment on that, but I apologize. You're my man, definitely.
All right. Thanks, Keith. Thanks for the call. Look, the St. Juice, he wasn't great on Sunday because he's – like, there's been a couple games where he was great. Against Arizona, he was phenomenal. You know, gave up, like, two catches to Marvin Harrison in some tough spots, but, like, largely played fantastic football and shut him out. He played – and a bunch of other stuff really well on Sunday. Everyone wants to talk about the third down. Okay. Yeah, that was a bad spot. I'm not going to defend it. The fourth and one play is fantastic. So this is life with Benjamin St. Juice. He's a good player. I won't even say that. I'm not even going to try to overstate it. He's a slightly better than average player who has moments. He has certain types of players that give him a lot more trouble than others. And they've largely found ways to mitigate that. Occasionally you're going to get got. It's the NFL. The other guys get paid too. And so, yes, if you could get another corner in here where he would stop having to cover one-on-one against number ones with regularity, they would be a better football team. But I think that is a different statement than, like, they have a Benjamin St. Juice problem because he sucks. He doesn't suck. He's a number two corner and a maybe slightly above average version of a number two corner, which means he's a below average number one corner. And the other guys get paid too. That's the NFL. That's my Benjamin St. Juice take. And it's probably not going to change, which means that I would like for them to find someone to put ahead of him in the next couple of weeks if they can. And certainly it doesn't mean that I'm like, you must bring back Benjamin St. Juice next year because his contract is expiring at the end of this one. It's just that if they can just generate pressure on a regular basis and he can generally play at the level that he did. I mean, Anthony, pop quiz. How many points did the Bears score until the, like, 6 minute mark or whatever it was of the fourth quarter? Yeah, you're about to say
I think zero.
Yeah, zero. How big of a problem can a dude be if they scored no points?
True.
They had, deep into the second half, they've had shutouts back-to-back weeks. Stop calling him complaining about singular plays on defense. It's not the problem. It's not the problem. Yes, bad play, big spot, not good. He wasn't the problem on that 56-yard run. He wasn't the problem on a lot of the plays that got them down there. And on third and six, like, if you're in isolation, it's really, really hard because a 7-yard comeback is basically impossible to stop. Like, it's just really hard. I mentioned this off the top of the show. There's a 3rd and 2 that winds up getting called back where he gives up a completion on a comeback to DJ Moore. He can't play it better. It's a perfect ball from Caleb. Sometimes that's the league. Sometimes that's just the NFL. 301-230-0980. Let's go to John in Oklahoma. John, preach for us here on a Vibe Check Tuesday.
Hey, I want to talk to you. First of all, thanks for taking my call.
Always.
Hey, you talking about the 0 to 6 minutes left in the third quarter? And let me ask you a question. I hadn't heard it until I said something earlier about it, but listen to this. Did you see number 72 on the play where the Bears did score on that 55-yard run? Did y'all happen to see him take out Quan Martin with a clothesline tackle, fixing to come up and make the play?
Yeah, there was probably at least 3 missed flags on that play. There was a lot.
Hey, but that one was right there in the open. You got a 300-pound lineman doing a belly flop, and there's a referee, that lady referee, is probably 10 yards from it, running down the sideline. There's another referee about another 10 yards behind it on the same sideline. It's out there in the open, and nobody calls it. If he don't tackle him, he turns it back into some more players, or it goes out of bounds. And you call us for a lineman a yard too far downfield on the other side of the play, from on the other side? I mean, you know, come on, call our touchdown back. But you don't see that 300-pounder? I mean, first he shoved him about 2 yards when he runs out there. Did you see that when he pushes him? Have you seen the play, what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
I've watched it. I've watched it quite a bit.
Hey, that's egregious. I don't know how you miss that in wide open, you know what I'm saying, out there. A lead blocker coming, pulling, running out there, 300-pounder. And, I mean, Quan Martin finally pops up and raises his arm. He's on his knee like, hey, you know, let's let it go. I mean, come on, man. I've seen that in Oklahoma, okay? I mean, and they just let it go. I mean, come on. Up until then.
All right, we got it. John, there was okay. Penalties on the play. They missed it. What else you got for us on a Vibe Check Tuesday?
Well, I tell you something, though. I mean, I'm feeling good about it, man. This team, I've been a member, a fan for a long time. Sorry about my dogs barking there, but I've been a fan, like I say, for over 50 years. But I've drank a lot of Kool-Aid when the season started, and I kind of feel punched up after quite a few years of, you know, what we've been going through. But there's something going on here. No one has expected this team to come together these first 8 games like they have. I mean, there's definitely something going on around this. I mean, the vibe I've got, I mean, I haven't felt like this in a long time. Even when we were 6-2, last time, 2008, you know, I know what happened when we went 2-6 that same year, you know, was on. But, man, it's a – like I say, I've seen a lot of football. I've never seen nothing like that play the other day, that Hail Mary. And
yeah, it was definitely special. All right, John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right, when we get back, we will wrap up Vibe Check Tuesday here on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're joined by Mitch Tischler coming up in just a few minutes on the team at 980. Of course, Mitch, longtime coverer of the Washington Commanders and co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast. But right now we're taking your calls on a Vibe Check Tuesday at 301-230-0980. Let's go to Mark. Mark, how are you feeling on this Vibe Check Tuesday with the Commanders sitting at 6-2, second in the NFC?
Hi, Craig. I'm feeling amazing. I'm feeling excited. I'm at peace with the world, my karma, my vibe. Everything is going great. I'm good for the whole week. That's what kind of effect it has on me. Now, I just want to say about the game, we dominated the game. When you kick field goals, when you primarily kick field goals, I know we scored, and I agree with you perfectly about the call. No call should be made if it doesn't directly influence. I'm tired of the NFL is going crazy on this illegal receiver downfield call. It influences every game. Now, I know they spotlighted it this year and all this kind of stuff, but if it doesn't affect that he was on the other side of the field, it did not affect the play at all, it should not be called. Keep the whistle in your mouth. Anyway, that's how I feel about that. But like I said, the football gods rewarded us, because we dominated that game, and luckily, with the Hail Mary, we were rewarded with it because it was just desserts. Now, on another point is we don't need to give away the season. We cannot give away the season. It's well beyond expectations, incredibly. So we can't afford to give it away. We need to make a move, okay? And Adam Peters, I trust. I trust him like you do, okay? Make a good call. I would like, and I agree with how you analyze the positions. I would like secondary, edge, and then wide receiver, okay? The first need, of course, is a secondary. I think that's going to come back to bite us sooner or later. So I knew we need to make a move there. Now, my last point is we should have went for it on 4th and inches. It was 2 inches.
Ooh,
there's three scenarios that can happen.
I like it.
Huh?
I said, keep going. I'm glad you brought this up. There's a couple of coaching decisions that I think have been overlooked in this game.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. We had a chance. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up to you. We had three scenarios that could have happened. 4th and 2, we pick it up, we run clock. Fourth and inches, we pick it up, we go down there and score. The last scenario is the worst. 3 and out, we punt the damn ball, they get it on our side of the 50, and they go down and score. And they could have possibly run the clock out with better I was going crazy on that. So I know that that's not football etiquette, protocol. You never do that. But in that circumstance, you should have went for it. It was 2 inches. I'm not talking about a foot. I ain't talking 12 inches. 6 inches, 2 inches. So that's all I got to say. I'm venting
really
now.
Well, thanks for the call, first of all. And I'm glad you brought that up because we were talking about this in the press box and Grant brought it up. And everyone was like, nah, dude, you're like inside your own 15-yard line. You got to punt it. And like the way their defense has been playing, I think it's not an indefensible decision to punt it. And I think it's probably the right decision to punt it. But yeah, I know like ESPN analytics had it as go. And I think Grant brought up to his credit, GP, like brought up a really good, reason why, which is if you don't get it, at least they'll probably score quickly. And at that point, the extra time becomes valuable. And so they needed a touchdown. You know, you at that point, like you're playing kind of prevent defense on the touchdown anyway. It's hard to execute in the red zone. The more I think about it, the more I might have. The one that kind of bummed me out, I think, earlier on in the game, though, was I hate kicking 20-yard field goals. 27-yarder, cool. They kick a 30-yarder next drive. Like, especially if your defense is playing well, just go for it down there. If they drive 87 yards on you, okay. Like, congrats. Great job, Chicago. And I know it's the first like two drives of the game that I'm talking about here where they kick two field goals, but they're 10 for 10 on fourth down on the year. They're good at this. Go for it. And so I think, you know, it's part the, I want Dan to continue to be aggressive because that's who they are as a football team. It's part, I trust them to actually execute the offense. And maybe Cliff is like, hey, I like how Chicago plays fourth down, or I don't like how Chicago plays fourth down. I don't think we have a great call here that I really like, but I tend to think Jaden can figure it out. Like he's that good and that dynamic. And so maybe it's, you know, he's a little limited as a runner. And so we don't trust him to get the edge like we normally do or sweat so good that our favorite call is not as good. Like I'm sure there's reasons beyond just like, oh, take the points, but it is worth pointing out that early in that game, Quinn had two opportunities on 4th and short to go for it and instead opted to kick sub 30 or a 30-yard field goal. And I think a lot of the analytics would tell you that's the wrong decision. And then the way that game played out, it would tell you it was the wrong decision outside of the fact that they won. But, like, would it have been easier if they get a touchdown in one of those? Yeah, obviously. And or, frankly, like, if you don't, okay, points come off the board. But Chicago couldn't move the ball. So you probably get good field position. And with that is something that is also worth mentioning in this game that we mentioned yesterday is – you play the field position game in this game. You try to, because Chicago's punter's sick and he kept pinning you inside the 10 yard line. There's a ton of drives in this game where they get movement and they get yardage and then they still have to punt or you get the 51 yard field goal. And that one helped out by a penalty, but 51 yard field goal or punts after you gain 20, 30 yards because you're starting from so far back. And so if that is what you're trying to do to them, understand it works the other way around in terms of the field position game and some of those fourth down scenarios. 301-230-0980. How are we feeling on a vibe check Tuesday? Let's go to Emery. Emery, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
What's up, Craig?
What up, Emery?
How you doing, man? I got a feel-good story for you this evening. It's
okay.
The story of a young man who's been a Skins/football team/Commanders fan since 1979, from the rooter to the tooter. And so I've come into this understanding that the Skins, they're like a difficult woman. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have a great day. Sometimes you just got to bite your tongue and grin and burp. Well, I've come to a understanding that now, since Jaden Daniels is here, we have started to heal. This is a rehabilitation season. It is okay to take the training wheels off and become a full-fledged fan again. Now, this is why I say this. My father just had a stroke. I'm in a rehab facility watching the game with him because, we don't really like each other, but we like the Skins. You see what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right, we're going to connect on something that's kind of important for the city, right? So we in there. I'm like, they dropping the passes all over the place. My dad going, blood pressure going up. He in there. He just had the medical emergency. We sitting there watching it. He like, why you tripping? They ain't get seven. I'm like, yeah, they ain't get seven. They got three. I don't know why they keep going down here. Is it going to be another New York Giants game? And he like, don't trip, don't trip. I'm like, I don't know what's going on with the receivers. Ain't nobody put the sticky stuff on any hands today. It was just being a real issue. So by the end, I'm like wired. I'm live. I'm like, can you believe y'all let him in there? You just got the fumble. I'm sitting there trying to put good juju. We're going to pull it out. Pop, we're going to pull it out. The lady comes in there. She actually takes his dag on blood pressure. Because at this point, I'm kind of irate. I know they can hear me in the whole daggone unit. And then, bloop, Noah Brown catches the jump. I'm like, Bob, they won. I'm probably the loudest person in the whole daggone rehab facility. Pop sitting there grinning, ain't got no teeth in his mouth. You know what I'm saying? It was a good thing. Like, at the end of the day, when it come down to it, this is having a big impact on the city. It's having a big impact on the fans. It's making fans be able to say, you know what, I can have pride in being a Commanders fan again. Listen, all y'all who left, come on back. You know what I'm saying? We got a hat for you. Hey, listen, let's just take the training wheels off and ride the wave because rehab pretty good these days.
Hey, rehab therapy, it's good for you at the end of the day. Emery, that's a great story. Wishing your pops the best, and appreciate the call, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
All right, that's Emery, everybody. Anthony, we're ending on that one.
He said his teeth wasn't in his mouth.
Smiling, got no teeth in his mouth. Oh, man.
That's funny.
That's good stuff. Hey, bringing people together, bringing families together. And hey, if you find something to catch, maybe Emery and his pops, they'll have some conversations about more than the Commanders. But that's a good place to start. And it's a lot better to start after Noah Brown caught that ball than it was before, because there's a lot less anger in that conversation. That's good stuff. All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we get back, we'll be joined by our pal Mitch Tischler.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.